Pastor Dallas and Miss Autumn's having their anniversary this week, and so they're out of town, and so I get to play piano, or let's play at it. All right, let's take our Bibles, if you will, please, and we're going to turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. It's good to have you here this morning, and especially our visitors, and God bless you. It's good to have you. Hope you'll make yourself at home. John chapter 14, a very familiar passage. We're going to deal on a, not really on the first part of this chapter. We're going to use the first, the last part of it as kind of a kickoff. This evening on Sunday nights, we're working through Ephesians. I really want to encourage us to come back on Sunday nights as we work through Ephesians. Talks about the church and all of us together and so forth. It's a good study, and I think you'll enjoy it. And so if you don't make Sunday night a regular part of your week, I encourage you to do that. You'd be surprised how much we'll learn. And Lord's good here. John chapter 14. This is the, when I do this, I often use this passage at a funeral, the first part of it there. This is occurring during the last night before Jesus is going to be crucified. He's been with his disciples for three and a half years. They've taken care of it. He's taken care of them. I often say this at funerals. If they needed food, he just feeds 5,000, give them each a basket to take home. If they need clothes, he takes care of it. If somebody's sick, he heals them. If somebody's dead, he raises them up. I mean, he just kind of takes care of things. And he's been telling them, especially during the last few months here, that he's going down to Jerusalem. They're going to be crucified, but the third day is going to rise again, but that he was going to be abused by the Jewish leaders and so forth. And they said, well, we won't let that happen. In fact, he said, well, get behind me, Satan. He says that to Peter, saying that he's telling them, don't tell me not to do this because this is what I came to do. But they've kind of been overlooking it and kind of trying to sidestep it and trying to not think about it too much. But to get to this point here, and I think all of a sudden it's starting to hit home, this is the last night. It's one of the last nights. It's going to happen soon here. And this person who's been caring for us, our friend Jesus Christ, our Messiah, who we thought was going to conquer everything, all of a sudden now he's not going to be here. And apparently something kind of went across their faces. And Jesus looks to them and he says in verse 1 of chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, I see there's some concern. He said, but wait a minute, you believe in God. That's good. That's the first start. Now you need to believe in me. Now I'm not going to get into that today, but the fact so much is, this is more than just believing in God. I've asked folks, well, do you know for sure if you die to go to heaven? Well, sure, I believe in God. Well, you believe in God, that's good. James says you believe in God, you do well, but the devils also believe and tremble. I mean, the devil knows who God is. So you're not doing God some big favor because you believe in him. It's more than just believing in who he is. It's believing that Jesus Christ died and paid for all your sins. It's trusting him. So you believe in God, that's good. But believe in me. Believe also in me. Jesus Christ is the Savior. And then it says, in my Father's house, verse 2, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. There's a promise of a home in heaven. And whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. And he goes on, he talks about several things. And he's talking about, you need to believe in me, and I'm God. You should be able to see, you should be able to tell by now that I'm God. And in fact, Philip says, will you show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. He says, oh, my soul, Philip, have I been here this long, and you still don't know that when you've seen me, you've seen the Father? By the way, only Jesus could die for our sins. I can't die for your sins. I got my own sins to die for. You can't die for my sins. You got your own sins to die for. The only one that can ever die for our sins is a being that has no sin of their own. And that only being in the whole universe is God. So Jesus Christ must be, he is the Son of God. If he's the Son of God, then he can die for our sins. He has no sin of his own. Now he says, if you think about this, he's been taking care of them all these years. All of a sudden they're going to have to face some things. The fact is, they know very well that the Jewish leaders aren't real happy with them. The Romans aren't real happy with the Jews. And they've been going along fine. As long as they were with Jesus, everything's good. Well, what are we going to do now? Well, he says here, if you skip down to verse 14, it says, and you shall ask anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Notice there's a connection there. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, another of the same kind, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless. And he says, I will come to you. So first he says he's going to send the Holy Spirit. And then he says, I'm going to come to you. It's a contradiction. No. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are all one. Well, how can that be? Well, the fact is, have you ever gone out right after a snowstorm, like the next day after a snowstorm, like in March, and we had a big snowstorm, you go out the next day and it's 55 degrees, and you got snow laying on the ground, you got water running in the gutter, and you got fog in the air. It's all made out of H2O. It's all the same stuff, all at the same place, all at the same time, but it looks different. Now, that's just kind of simple, but the fact is God. He can be anywhere he wants to be. If he wants to be sitting on the throne in heaven, he can do that at the same time be Jesus Christ on the earth. He's God. If we can understand everything about God, we'd be God. So don't worry about that. In fact, I'm glad I have a God that I can't understand everything. If he's nothing but a block of wood with a face carved on it, I think I'm going to look for another God. He said, verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live. At that day ye shall know that I am the Father, and ye are me, and I in you. And he that hath my commandments, now watch this verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he that says, I know what you want me to do, and I'm going to do my best to do it, I'm going to protect them, I'm going to make them part of my life, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest or show myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, he says, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest or show thyself unto us and not unto the world? He said, why is it you're going to show them, you're going to show us some things that you're not going to show everybody else? He says, I mean, pretty cool, but why do we get to know this? Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. By the way, kids, if you love your parents, you obey them. You may not agree with them, but you obey them. You love yourself more than your parents, and you obey you instead of your parents. That's the way it works. Parents know that. And God says the same thing. He says in verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. He said, I'm not telling you because I want you to love me. Because they could see Jesus. He says, I'm telling you what God is telling me to tell you. I'm God, and the Father's telling me. Verse 25, these things have I spoken to you, being yet present with you. He says, I'm telling you this ahead of time because I'm still here. But that implies he's not always going to be here. Look at verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, from where? The Word of God. And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Verse 27, watch this, very important. Peace I leave with you. This is not a new thought. This is right out of what he just said. He said, I will show myself to you. But you've got to do what I tell you to do. You want to see me work in your life, then you need to allow me to work. You need to do what I tell you to do. If you want to sense my walking with you, then you need to walk with me. That's what he's saying. You walk with him, he'll be walking with you. We want to walk where we want to walk. We wonder why he's not there. So he says, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace. He says, peace. I know about peace. No. My peace. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. He says, I got something special. Well, I know so-and-so across the street, you know, they've had some hard times and they don't seem to have any peace. I guess that's just the way life is. How are you going to have peace in a world like this? Oh, no. He says, they got the world's peace here. They're trying to get peace from what the world can give them. He says, I got something really special. Well, how can I have it? Just stick with me. Hang tight. Walk where I walk. Do what I do. He says, let not your, watch, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, which is right where we started. Oh, my day, oh, my soul, I got to face tomorrow. I don't think this one that I've been trusting all these years is going to be here. What am I going to do? He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, if you believe in me, keep my commandments and love, because if you love me, you do what I tell you to do. And because what I do, by the way, his rules are not grievous. So he's gonna let you walk with him. And when you're walking with him, you're gonna sense his presence as the comforter, and he's gonna give you a peace. Not like the rest of the world has, but a peace that he can give. Let's pray, and we're gonna talk this morning about his peace. His peace. I don't know why I felt moved to preach this morning, but I think we all need it sometime. Maybe we're going to need it this week. I don't know. But he gives us his peace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word, and I thank you again for each one you've brought our way here this morning. Lord, you know all the hearts. You know all the needs. You know what's going through their minds. You know what they're up against. It could be a great variety of things. And yet, Lord, if we know that we've done what you've wanted us to do, and we've done our best at doing it, we simply give it to you the rest. And Lord, there's a peace that passes understanding. There's a wonderful peace that only you can give. A quietness, a rest. And Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us. Lord, it'd be one here again this morning doesn't know Christ as their Savior. There's a peace. There's the first peace we need. Be peace, have peace with you, peace with our God. And then there's also a peace of God. So Lord, I pray that you'll bless. Speak to our hearts. May your spirit move. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Our year's theme, which we'll put back up after July 4th, we kind of leave this up through Memorial Day and Flag Day and God and Country Day, which is going to be like the last Sunday in June. It's always the last Sunday before July 4th. But we'll put our banner back up. But our theme is, with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. We like the idea that all things are possible. But I think many folks think that it is just an idealistic wish that Christians like to ponder. Makes us feel better. For some folks, if we're not careful, it can almost be a superstitious act, like crossing your fingers. But I think sometimes Christians don't really think anyone really believes that all things are possible with God. Certainly not the things that I really need. And maybe the things I need down deep in my heart. So they just go on hiding their fears and hiding their hurts and hiding their wounds and pretend they have peace. Maybe they do so by trying to ignore the issues like the rest of the world does. They bury it in the bottom of a bottle, but they're not going to find it down there. They think they're going to find it at the point of a needle, and that's not going to happen. Sometimes they become a workaholic, just try to get away from it and just kind of get their mind on something else. This might sound a little cold, I guess, but sometimes ladies who are having trouble with their marriage will just say, well, I'm just going to pour myself into my kids and not deal with the issue of the marriage. Not that you're wrong to pour yourself into your kids, but by the way, the first best thing the kids can have is a good family to be in part of. We try to ignore it. I think that many Christians think of all the things as, sometimes when it says all things that God can do are maybe physical circumstances, and that hopefully God will change those, so that'll free us up to be able to handle the rest of the things on my own strength. That'll give me peace. That's not the peace he's talking about. That's the peace the world's talking about. See, with God, all things are possible. And one of those all things that God can produce is a real and a true and a deep peace that only God can give us, even in the midst of great problems. And I've said this before, but truly, peace is given because of the problems. Peace is not the absence of problems. Peace is a rest and a calmness in the midst of real present problems. The peace that I'm talking about in the heart. Not a peace like the world gives, but a peace that only God can give. And I know we talk about, you know, hoping we're going to have peace in the world and all that stuff, so that means we're going to stop having all the wars. I understand that. But you know what? That's not going to happen until the King of Kings comes down and rules with a rod of iron. That's not going to happen. And even then, he's going to have to keep peace. He's ruling with a rod of iron. Now, one of these days, the 1,000 years reign is over, then all things become new, and man, one of these days he won't have to do that, amen. But the fact is, there we are. I think many folks will say, I wish I could have peace, or I'm praying for peace. And what they mean is, I wish all my problems would just go away so I could handle things on my own so I can have peace for once. God is saying that we will never know peace until God brings that peace and rest and calmness while the problem and the storm is still in full swing. Then you know you've got peace. When you have peace in the midst of the storm, when you have peace in the midst of all the fury, then you know that there's a peace that comes from God, and it's a peace that only comes from God. God's word tells us that there's a peace. You know what that means? There really is such a thing as peace. God said so. You may even feel, I don't know about you, you may even feel a little irresponsible living life with a quiet rest and calmness when there's tribulation and tragedy and turmoil and tempestuous seas all around us. There are problems all around. Am I not supposed to be worrying and frightened and sweating it out? This is what the situation calls for. That's what we think. There's a lot of problems. I guess I better worry. I was telling somebody this morning, and about a year ago, it hit me. God will give us grace to get through the issues, but sometimes we're not willing to allow him to give us the grace. Well, this is a terrible situation. I'm not a good person if I'm not here worrying and biting my nails. Well, I bite my nails anyway. That's just a nervous habit. But I'm not. Why am I doing this? Well, I mean, there's this awful things going on. I'm supposed to be upset. I better go home and get upset. In fact, if I don't get upset, people out there are going to think I don't care, and then they'll think I'm not a good Christian. So I better go out there and get upset. I better go out there and worry. I better go out there and fret and fume. And who said? Now, I'm not talking about not being concerned. I'm not saying, listen, take all things to God, prayer and supplication. He said, be careful for nothing. But in all things, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, knowing he's good to take care of it, you give those things to him. And the peace that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. There's a peace. Maybe, fretting and worry and remorse and all this stuff, maybe that is what the situation calls for from the average person on the street. But wait a minute. You're not supposed to be the average person on the street. What did that guy say? It was Judas, not Judas Iscariot. So Jesus says, well, why are you going to show yourself to us and not necessarily to everybody else out there? He says, listen. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You keep my commandments, my Father will. You're gonna sense his presence different than those who are out there living their own life their own way. So in other words, by the way, broad is the way and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many there are that go in thereat. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. That means there's many folks who are not walking with him, few folks who are. Now, how about you? I want to be part of the few. You know what we're so worried about? We want to be liked by the many. I want to be liked by the one. If someone else likes me, good. If they don't, that's the way it goes. Because what he gives me is different than what the rest of the world is going to give me. So it's okay to have a peace. So everybody else is looking at me like, you're kind of strange. That's because it could be they're walking down the Broadway. And you've taken that little path, that little dirt path, it looks like a cow path down out from the meadow back up to the barn. And you wonder if anybody really goes here. And yet there's a peace that passes understanding out there in that path. Let me give you number one here real quick. God calls it, number one, my peace. My peace. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. He says, my peace. So this is the peace of Jesus. This is the peace of the presence of Christ in your life. And if, by the way, first comes through salvation, but there's a peace that comes into your life. He says, I will give you a comforter, one to walk beside you. And then he says, I will come unto you. This is the spirit, the mind of Christ. This is God himself living in us. If he dwelleth not in you, you're none of his. He is in with you. He's in you. This is his peace. The world tries to work up something that it calls peace. But it really isn't all that it's cracked up to be. There is this trumped up artificial peace that the world tries to muster up. It's all right. We'll be okay. And down inside, they're working on some ulcers. You say, well, there's a problem here, and I'm not seeing anything going on. God doesn't seem to be doing anything. So I'm going to, you know what you just did? You just stopped walking with him. You want to walk with the comforter. You want the comforter to walk with you. You need to walk with the comforter. Well, I'm not doing anything bad. I'm not doing anything illegal. I'm not cheating on my wife. I'm not talking about that. Is your heart walking with him? Is your heart someplace else? Some of us Christians, that's why it says friendship of the world is, he says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? We don't want to admit this, and don't raise your hand, but some of our relationships, we're supposed to love Christ, love him, right? Our relationship with him is like a guy taking his wife on a Valentine's dinner and thinking about the girl down at the office. We'll go and we'll give a cent. We'll do our little thing, but our heart's not with him. Our heart's out there someplace. And you know what the problem is? Though the wife may suspect there's something, God knows for sure because he sees the heart. You're not going to do all those things and have him think you're walking with him. You can't fool him. God's not mocked. There's a true peace that comes from God. And as a child of God, we have access to a peace that only God gives out to his children. And then only to the children that meet certain prerequisites. He wants you to have it. Listen. Mama goes to the grocery store, and she tells her teenage daughter, when I get home, I want these dishes done and the beds upstairs made. I'll be home about 11:30, and we'll have lunch. 11:29. You know where I'm going. Nothing's done. She doesn't have peace right now. Does she have a mother? Yeah. Does she have a mother who loves her? Yes. Is she, you know, so she's the mother's child, but does she have peace? Well, she didn't go out and rob a grocery store. She didn't bring her boyfriend in. She didn't do anything really bad, but did she do what her mama said? No. And you know, when mama comes home, she's going to say, well, did you bring me? You know what? She's not going to say, did you bring me something? Because right now she's hiding in a room someplace. If you have become disillusioned about the whole idea of some kind of peace, and you're not sure you believe in it anymore, it's most likely because you're looking for the peace that that the world gives to you, and you're not experiencing the true peace of God. We saw that in John 14. It's different. Why should I think that I can have peace that's different from the general population? There's very little peace in this world and very few that seem to have it. How could I think that I could be the one of those lucky people in the world that simply has peace? He says, if you love me, you'll keep my words. And my Father will love you. And we'll come unto him and make our abode with him. Notice the connection between keeping God's commandments and his peace. Let me say it again. There's a connection between keeping God's commandments and his peace. Now, we're not perfect. You're going to mess up. It happens. Understand. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah for that. Get to start over again. His mercies are new every morning. But Jesus says that his peace has two prerequisites. One is we need to know the Word of God, know the commands of God, what God wants us to do and not to do, and then we're supposed to live accordingly, the best we very, very best we can. And that's and by the way, he said, well, he knows I tried. No, you didn't try. You were doing something else, and you know it. You're not going to pull the wool over his eyes. We got to be transparent, real with ourselves, and real with the Lord. He knows. We need to know the commands, and we need to live accordingly. Have faith in God. And by the way, faith in God is action based on a promise or a command of God. God said, do it, then that's what I'm going to do. He says, you do this, you get this, then do it. So we need to obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Oh, that's one of those songs you teach the kids. That's because you want them to trust and obey you. Now, we need to turn around and not trust and obey our Father. There is a peace. It's not like the rest of the world. So if you're trying to come up with something, stop looking for something like the rest of the world gives. It's his peace, not as the world give I unto you. Number two, it's a peace beyond understanding. You say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. Oh, I know, and God knows. But that doesn't stop his peace. Because it's a peace that goes beyond what we know. It's a peace that goes beyond the circumstances. If you want to turn in your Bible, look at Philippians 4:4, if you will real quick. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Little book, just a couple pages in your Bible. Philippians 4, chapter 4. Look what it says here. Now listen. There are way too many Christians, just like the rest of the world, are looking for peace. They came to church, they got saved, they thought, now I'm going to have peace in my life, and it's still not there. I want to show you how to get there. This is how you get there. God's not going to zap on some peace and all of a sudden, I'm saved. Doesn't that mean all my problems go away so I have peace? Listen, I was born at night, but I wasn't born last night. I didn't just fall off the watermelon wagon. Listen, this is the world. In the world we shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer, Jesus said, I have overcome the world. And this is the answer to overcome the world, is even your faith. Watch it. It says verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And you know what you say? Yeah, right. I'm supposed to rejoice in this. I didn't say that is rejoicing-able. Okay? But what I'm saying is I can rejoice. I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. God's my heavenly Father. God's my earthly comforter, if you will. He's with me. I don't know what's going on, but I do know that he's got everything under control. If I'm walking with him, he's not going to let anything happen. He doesn't want to happen. Now, don't use that as an excuse to go out and get yourself in trouble and say, well, God wanted it. No.
people do that all the time.
They go out and make some crazy decision. Well, God, it was all part of God's plan. Well, it was because he knew you were sticking in there. But he didn't want you to put it in there in the first place. Sterling's going to do something stupid, so let's stick that in the plan. All right, okay, I'm ready for you. Come on. But I sure wish he'd leave that thing out of the mix. We don't need to go there. Look what it says. It says there, rejoice the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. In other words, make much of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep him in the forefront of your thoughts. And it's difficult to rejoice always if our heart is in turmoil. Yet we cannot stop problems from coming. What that means is we can have a peace in the midst of the turmoil. He says, he's commanding us to rejoice. Well, how can I rejoice in what I know is going on? He says, I can give you a peace that passes understanding. I can give you a peace in the midst of what you know is going on. Look at verse 5. Let your moderation, your patience, your appropriate actions, your self-control. In other words, you're not going, I'm not trying to be mean here. And you've heard my story of my panic attack, all right? But the fact is, if God's in control, then why in the world am I having a panic attack? If he loves me with an everlasting love, why am I having a panic attack? Because I looked, my wife told me, you know the story. I asked God to help me walk on water, so to speak, and then I saw the waves, and it scared me. You start looking at the waves, stop looking at the waves, look back at him, the author and finisher of your faith. He says, let your moderation be known to all men. Everybody ought to know you as just being kind of level-headed, just handle it. Now, I don't mean you got to hold it all in. No, release it. Give it to him. Not mine, it's his. Hang on, watch me. He says, let your moderation be known unto all men. Look, the Lord is at hand. He's right here. He's right here. What's going on? God's right here. He didn't go anywhere. I remember as a little kid, I told you my dad was a big anti-car buff, and we go to these, you know, Hershey. If you've ever been to Hershey car, you know, for the big flea market, acres and acres and acres and acres and acres, and it all looks the same. Just another table full of car parts, you know what I mean? Just, oh, my soul, you know, just it all looks the same, hundreds and hundreds of people there. And I remember one time, I forget what it was, I saw something that I thought was really kind of neat, and I was paying attention to it. And Dad, he was a good father, but to be honest with you, if I, you know, I needed to stay with him. He wasn't watching me. But, oh, he'll be okay. You know, he grew up, you know, in the 40s, and, you know, your kids go out and play. They'll find their way back home, kind of like a dog. You know, I mean, it'll be all right. It'll be okay. And so I'm looking, and he disappeared. And then he goes, are you looking for me? I was right behind him. I mean, he was right behind me. He was right behind me. That's what we do. He says, why are you going bananas here? He says, I'm right here. I didn't go anywhere. Now, you wandered off, but I'm right here. I'm right here. He's at hand. The world can't know this peace because it comes from the realization that God is at hand, and the world doesn't know God, much less know that he's at hand and have the peace knowing he's there. Look at verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing. That means full of care, worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That means give everything to God in prayer. He's right there. Oh. what time's lunch? You know, it's okay. That's really all I was worried about, you know, what time lunch was. And he says, verse 7, and the peace, the quiet rest of God, which passes, progresses far beyond, superior to all understanding, that which we know to be the true situation. He says, I'm going to give you a peace that goes beyond all that, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Shall be the watcher, the keeper, the watcher in advance, the scout. He's scouting out the enemies. He's the keeper of your hearts, your feelings, your emotions, the depth of your soul, and your mind, your thought life. But by the way, we can drive you bananas, your thought life. You ever been in bed, you lay down, everything gets quiet, and all of a sudden your mind just starts, oh my, I got so much stuff to do tomorrow. I got this happened, I know this is going to happen. Oh my soul, what are we going to do? And he says, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds, how? Through Christ Jesus. Well, where's he? He's right here. He's at hand. Hey, I didn't go anywhere. You know, the world sometimes thinks it can have peace if it can just understand everything concerning the issue. Are you like that? I do. If I can just figure out everything on the earth, I'll have it all under control. Understanding everything concerning the issue may actually be scarier and takes away some of the peace we have left. I'm so glad God didn't tell me everything was going to go on in my life the day I was born. It scared me. And by the way, most of the things we worry about never happen. Satan just wants to get your attention on something else other than God. If it's real, fine. If it's not real, okay. But he did his job. What about the things we just can't understand? Maybe we'll never be able to understand them. Maybe we won't. Watch. Some peace, quote unquote peace in this world, comes under the heading of ignorance, ignorant bliss. Ignorance is bliss. What I don't know won't hurt me. Well, there's a fool. Wonder what happens if I take this wire and this wire and put them together. Well, it's okay, because what I don't know won't hurt me. You know, I mean, listen, we're foolish. This is why they had watchmen on the walls of the cities to warn the coming danger. But why should I can sleep in peace? Because the watchman is on the wall. Peace because the Lord is the keeper of my soul. I made my campground right next to his. He's at hand. Some peace in this world is just insanity. But God has a peace that takes into account the real situation. There really is a problem. And it might be a serious problem. A serious situation. There really is that problem. And we have full understanding of the great gravity and the seriousness of the situation. And yet God is going to give a peace that goes beyond the facts. And in spite of fully understanding that this is a very bad situation, God is giving a quiet rest and a calmness because we also have full knowledge that we have a God that's bigger and greater than any problem that we will ever face. And he's right there at hand. There he is. There's a peace that's called his peace. There's a peace beyond understanding. Let me give you number three. There's a great peace. Great peace. Look at Psalm 119, 161, almost right in the middle of your Bible there. The book of Psalms, Psalm number 161. Psalm 119, verse 161. Why are we going on and on and on and on and on about this? Because when I want you to walk out the door here this morning, I want you to realize there's a peace. It's different than what the world's trying to trump up. This is a peace that comes from God. And this is a peace that I can have. I just need to meet God's prerequisites. I need to know his word and live by it. The more I know his word and the more I live by it, the greater my peace is going to be. That's what it says. Psalm 119, 161 says, princes, it says people in power, people who are above me, people with authority, princes have persecuted me without a cause. Well, you can't fight City Hall. You know, they're bigger than I am. I don't know what in the world we're going to do. I don't have control of this issue. If I had control of the issue, I'd have peace. No, you wouldn't. You have problems, probably. God gives you peace whether you're in control or not. By the way, if you're in control, you better get him to tell you how to do it. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. He says, I know something they don't know. I know what God says. I've got promises they don't know about. My daddy's bigger than their daddy. He says, my heart standeth in all of thy word. He has a peace because he knows something that his persecutors do not know. Look at 161. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. They're going to persecute me. But natter, 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 I got the word of God. And if I says I got the word of God, I can have a peace that passes understanding. I know that I've got a father, a heavenly father. My daddy who loves me so much, he gave his life for me. Loves me so much, and he's right at hand. He's right here. He's right here. You don't see him, do you? Boy, you're going to see him in a few minutes. Or he's going to wear you out. I've got a heavenly father. He's right here. He says, I rejoice, verse 1, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Man, I got a prize when I found out about this. It says, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. What does that have to do with it? He says, I found the key to having peace. Want to have nothing to do with wrong, that God says wrong, and try to get involved in everything he wants me to do that's right. Obey him, trust him. He says it's a spoil, it's a treasure. This is really cool. Watch this. All I got to do is hate the poor lying, but thy law do I love. Look, verse 164. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. You know what we say? Really, it means all day long. He's saying, you know, I think about this when I wake up in the morning and during breakfast, and when I get to work, you know, I'm thinking about it when I'm driving to work, and then at lunchtime, you know, I think about it again. You know, it's so cool that I can have a peace of God in the midst of all the mess we got in this world. I mean, there's people in the high places trying to get on me, but my God's at hand. See, when I think about that, it just almost gives me the shivers. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. It tells me what I need to do so I can do it, so I can have your peace. 165. Great peace have they which love thy law. You ready? Great peace, exceeding peace, and abundant peace, plenteous in size, plenteous in quantity, plenteous in quality. This is a peace. It's a deep peace. It's a sense of safety, a sense of wellness, a self of well-being. Not because there aren't problems, but because I've got a God who's at hand. He knows, and I need to listen to what he has to say. Great peace have they which love thy law. You know what he said? He thinks about the law and says it's like finding spoil. Now I'm not talking about spoiled tomatoes there, all right? I'm talking about treasures that you know that came into your hand you didn't even have to work for. There it is. This is great treasures. Am I finding a treasure chest? He says, I found a treasure chest. Listen, you and I both know that if it gets to the point sometimes in life, you'd give everything in the world that you own for a day of peace. You got a phone call, and they said the C word. And right about now, you give everything you have to just make that word go away. You came home, and the house was cleaned up, and they're gone. You're all alone. And you give everything you have just to make it right again. To go back to the day when you looked in each other's eyes at the marriage altar and said, I do. I love you, I do. God says, I can give you a peace. It's like a great treasure. And he says, you're going to have an affection for it. You're going to have an affection. Watch. He says, have they which love thy law. They have an affection for the precepts, the statutes, God's rule of life. Tell me another one. I want a deeper peace. Tell me another one. Tell me something else I need to change. Brother Brandon said this morning, he's back here teaching kids club this morning. He said, "You, Lord, tell us how we can be closer to you this morning than we were before we came in here." Something to those that effect. Lord, I want to be closer. What do we need to fix today? You know what he's saying? I love your law because it tells me how I can get closer to you. I mean, not only is he at hand, but, you know, stand up, Janet. By the way, for folks who are visiting, this is my wife, okay? It's not, stand up. It's nice to say, there she is. Yes, she is. And you know, when we're here at church, I really don't have a whole lot of time to talk to her. But, you know, she's doing her thing. I'm doing our thing. And we go home. But the fact is, I'd rather stand right here. You know what I mean? I'd rather stand like right here, you know? I hate going someplace like this weekend. Went someplace to speak someplace. And you know what it is when you're used to being in the same room at night with somebody? And all of a sudden, you're not. Now, she sleeps better because I'm not there to snore. But for me, I lie awake. Let's have a seat. Listen, it's one thing to say, I know God's there. Yeah, he's there, and I know where he is if I need him. I can know where to find him when I need him. That's not the peace you're looking for. You want this peace where all you got to do is kind of, and you can feel him. He's right there. You know? He's right there. Our response to the problems, watch, he says, look at it. Great peace have they with love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now, you can use it, and it includes being offended. What? Do you know what this is? He started out with princes. Somebody in charge says something to them he didn't like. But the fact is, he said, you know what, Buster? I love you, so does God love you, but my God's bigger than you are, so you give me a problem, he's going to look out for me. We may both be his children. Now, sometimes you want to take your children and knock their heads together, but then you hug them and give them a kiss, you know? But you know what I mean. You feel like it. I didn't say you're going to. You want to keep them apart. Don't let them beat each other up. God loves them both, but the fact is, when one of them's beating up on the other, you know, right, I'll be back, you know? God knows. He knows what's going on. He says, listen, nothing shall offend him. That word offend means to totter, to waver, to falter, to fall, to stumble. Nothing shall cause them, offend them. He says, great peace have they which love thy law, and they're just going to keep on trucking. Oh, what happened? Oh, my soul. Well, now I'm going to be mean here. I am going to be mean here. I got a problem. I can't go to church. My soul. Wow. I got to sit here and work up the strength. So I got enough strength to go hear that man yell for 45 minutes. Great peace have they which love thy law. You know what you're saying? Man, I had a hard week. I need some peace. God, tell me what I need to do. Now, I'm not God. He is, but I'm using his book. It works that way. See what I'm saying? World stops. We throw him away instead of running to him like it's great spoil. I don't know if you can still get that. What was that stuff we used to get to put on a bad sore? You could get it in a tube, little metal tube. What was it? Derma Medicone. I don't. And after kind of point, we couldn't find that stuff. Maybe if you buy, you know where that is, you let us know. But it seems like if nothing else would heal it up, a little bit of this stuff would be on there. And boy, I tell you what, we squeezed everything out of those little tubes as long as we could. Because when all else failed, put some Derma Medicone on it and it'd heal right up. Great spoil. It's a treasure. I got hurt. Well, I guess I'll sit here for a while, you know. No! Where's that Derma Medicone? She's got it hid underneath someplace here so no one makes more use of it. You don't need much. You just need a little tiny dab. It comes in a little tiny tube. Just put a little bit of dab on that thing. That's what she used to do. Got to put it somewhere. No one else knew it. They don't want to waste it. You know how the kids are. Derma Medicone! You know. No, it's a treasure! You know. Great peace have they which love thy law. When something comes out, you know what our response should be? Live in faith in God. It says, Lord, I have, look at verse 66, 166. I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. Live in faith in God. Live in fortitude with God. Look at one when in determination, 167. My soul hath kept thy testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I've done it. I'm going to do it. I've got problems. I need peace. I know there's a peace there. I'm going to find it by doing what he wants me to do. Number three, live in fear of God, not fear of life. Fear of God, respect for God. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. I did it. I made sure I got it all right because I know you knew everything I did and everything I'm thinking. And I got to make sure that not only do it looks good, that it looks good on the outside, but it is good on the inside because I want your peace. Because the peace I'm looking for is not for you to stop everything out there, though that would be real nice. Probably not going to happen. The peace I'm looking for is something on the inside. That's where the work is done. To have great peace, we need to make much of the Word of God. If you don't make much of the Word of God in your life, in that you read it and that you heed it, you cannot expect to have the great peace of God. And if you do not have the great peace of God, you will eventually stumble. One way or another, you will walk away from something that you should stick with. If you have not, listen, if you have not and you are not making much of God's Word in your life, if you do not stand in all of God's Word, if you do not see the Word of God as a prize, a great spoil, you're not going to seek it. And you're not planning on obeying it with the depth that you should, that you're not going to find the great peace that you're looking for. To know peace, you must know God. And to know God, you've got to know His Word. One last one. I know it's time to stop. Give me 4 minutes. Perfect. Don't laugh. Honest, I can do this. Turn to Isaiah 26:3. Listen, there's a peace that's His peace. It's not the world's peace. I don't want the world, what the world gives me. I want what He gives me. He's got a special thing. Now, He says, I will show it to you because you keep my word. So there's a peace. He has a peace. There's a peace that passes understanding. So why I like peace, maybe just kind of, it'll take the edge off the pain. He's not talking about taking the edge off the pain. He's not talking about just getting us through another day. He's talking about a peace that passes understanding. Goes beyond what we know the situations are. It says, and it's a great peace. It's a great peace. Far beyond what we can have. And not only that, it says it's a perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3 says this. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Because, why? Why are you, what, listen, why is your mind stayed on Him? Because He trusteth in thee. Then verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. He's bigger than anybody else's daddy, and He always will be. Now my kid's daddy is bigger than a lot of other daddies. But I don't think you want to trust unless we're sumo wrestling. One of these days, I used to think my daddy could do everything. I remember watching his muscle. He worked, this is way back when we used to sell coal. People would heat their house with coal. He'd shovel it on, literally, starting a business, didn't have anything. He'd shovel it on the truck. He'd shovel it off the truck. He'd shovel it on another truck to take it to somebody else's house and shovel it off another truck. Then he found out about chutes and things. But anyway, he shoveled and shoveled and shoveled. Oh, that man, he had... I mean, he could almost split the seam of his shirt when he made a muscle. And he didn't have to go down to the gym to do it. The man was built. I mean, he felt like a rock when you hit him. But he was a very frail man when he passed away. God's peace is an everlasting peace because God never weakens. His strength never fails. It never fades. He says, he has this, thou will keep him, guard him, protect him, maintain him in perfect peace. That word perfect peace is from two words. Shalom, shalom. He says, this is peace, but this is peace, peace. This is a peace, peace. I mean, this is a peace you don't want to miss. This is a big peace. This is peace on peace. I mean, this is peace on top of other peace and on top of other peace. He says it never fails. He says, you know what? It's not like I got a little rush of peace and I got through the day. No, he says, this is a perfect peace. He says, this is a sustaining peace. This is peace and it gives you more peace before you got done with the first piece of peace. It's peace. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind, the calculating part of your thinking, the part where you form opinions, the place where you make your plans, your conceptions, your imagination, what you're thinking about. What is your mind working over and over and over and over and over? Bless the man who walks down the counsel of the ungodly. Okay, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. Blessed is a man. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed, propped up on, leaning on the everlasting arms, taking hold of, resting on, staying oneself on. So you don't fall. Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. If your mind is stayed, resting, knowing to spoil, that peace that passes understanding, he'll give you a perfect peace, a sustaining peace. Now, you say, why? Boy, I had the peace of God that day. What if you could have it every day? You wake up in the morning, it's okay. The sky has fallen, Chicken Little. But the fact is, I have a peace because I know the man who holds up the sky. I know. He's got it all under control. All the world may fall apart, but I built my house upon the stone. It's not going anywhere. It's not the peace, the one who built their house out there in the sand. Man, they decorated it all up real good. They've got it, it's to the hilt. The fact is, I might not have a big house, but if it's built on a rock, I have peace. Because the wind's bigger than the house, no matter how big the house is. You better have it on the rock, not on the stones, not on the sand. God's peace is beyond understanding. It's a great peace. It's a perfect peace. To stay yourself on God so you don't stumble in life. Be stayed on Him, knowing His Word, doing what it said. Perfect peace. Psalm 37:37 says this, I'm all done. Mark the perfect man. What's that mean? You keep your eye on a guy that's trying his best, really not to show off, but really trying his best to humbly walk before his God. By the way, that's all he requires, right? Fear God and keep His commandments. Humble ourselves. Do what He says. He says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Mark, you keep your eye on somebody that is walking with God. And you watch him. He said, you know, when all the mess comes around, he still has peace. The Lord's at hand. Father, thank you for speaking to us this morning. Lord, I want these folks to know your peace. We all have had issues. We've all got our eyes on the storms from time to time, got our eyes on the waves. The fact is, we don't have to. Lord, I want our folks to have that peace. May they just determine that they're going to love your law. See it as a great treasure. Hang to it. Because when we're walking with you, that means you're walking with us. And you're at hand. And we can have that perfect peace. Lord, speak to us here. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If you're here this morning,